Our text is from our third reading for this evening, and that is John chapter 18. These words, "They cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the release of Barabbas by Pilate at the behest of the crowd in Jerusalem continues to trouble us today, doesn't it? I mean, every time we hear about it, every year during Lent, especially on Good Friday, it just doesn't seem right. Why? Well, Barabbas was a criminal. Barabbas was even a notorious prisoner, a rebel, arrested for murder which he committed during an attempt to overthrow the Roman government. The Gospel of Mark tells us that. And hearing that detail about Barabbas, especially in the world of today, we might begin to think, well, that is then a different story, isn't it, Pastor? For Barabbas was not simply a robber, but someone who had been imprisoned for attempting to overthrow the Roman government. The Jews in the crowd there in Jerusalem could have easily sympathized with Barabbas, with his actions, with his murder of someone during that failed attempt at revolution, a revolution truly justified, as the Jews in general at that time were chomping at the bit to throw off the oppressive control of government, of Roman governments. Barabbas then as popular hero. Here we can think of the likes of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, so popular today among intellectuals, imprisoned and executed for an assassination attempt of Adolf Hitler. Nelson Mandela also comes to mind, imprisoned for 27 years for sabotage by the government of South Africa. And how about Yasser Arafat? Yasser Arafat, who helped found and run Fatah, a paramilitary organization seeking the removal of Israel from the Middle East and eventually becoming the leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Now, the latter two, Mandela and Arafat, went from notorious rebels, just like Barabbas, to eventual winners of the Nobel Peace Prize. So Barabbas could be seen in that light, and the crowd as well crying out to Pilate, "We don't want a king, that is Jesus. We want a revolutionary, that is Barabbas. Someone who will achieve our political and earthly revolutionary goals." But Barabbas was indeed a murderer, a man who had taken another person's life unjustly, and so rightly was imprisoned by the Romans awaiting execution. Now, Barabbas did have an interesting name, didn't he? That is Barabbas, literally, son of the father. Here we can think of Simon Bar-Jonah, that is Simon, son of Jonah, to compare. So some have speculated then that the name Barabbas was an alias, an appeal to the common man like those in the crowd crying out for his release. For everyone, at least every man, every man is a son of the Father. Even more intriguing, some ancient sources suggest that Barabbas had a first name, and that first name was Jesus, as in Jesus Barabbas, Jesus, son of the Father. Interesting. And it's interesting because it's just exactly because Jesus Christ was the Son of the Father that what Jesus Christ stated was true, that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. It was just exactly because Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of the Father that the high priest and the leaders of the Jews wanted him to be executed. While the one who actually went by the name of Barabbas, that is Jesus, Son of the Father, a murderer even, they had no qualms releasing. Why? Speculation here. The high priest and the leaders of the Jews also wanted to free themselves from the yoke of Rome. They themselves wanted what Barabbas tried to achieve in this world. They themselves wanted authority and power and wealth, whether or not murder was involved. So the murderer Barabbas could be set free and another murder committed, and that is the murder of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yes, the crucifixion of Jesus was a murder, an unjust killing, as far as the kingdom of this world is concerned. For what Pilate asked about Jesus was indeed true. What evil has he done? But the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was also not in the least bit a murder as far as the kingdom of God was concerned. For the penalty of death was suffered by Jesus, the Son of God, for what Jesus, the Son of the Father, that is, Jesus, what Jesus Barabbas had done, and for what Dietrich Bonhoeffer did, and what Nelson Mandela did, and what Yasser Arafat did, and what you and what me, what I have done. For who are we all this evening? Who are we all but Barabbases? Sons of the Father, daughters of the Father. Who are we but those who yearn for freedom in this world? To throw off the yoke of restrictions placed in our way and in our attempts to do so, also are tempted to murder. Here abortion so often is mentioned. Sin committed by individuals, but sanctioned by society to assure the freedom of the mother and the release of the responsibility of the father. But hatred as well needs to be mentioned. Hatred, which Jesus the Christ, the very Son of God, taught us is the same as murder, a wishing that someone was dead. And what about shunning? Ghosting, they call it nowadays, where we completely cut off communication with someone who has offended us and treat them as surely as if they were already dead. Crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the penalty suffered by him for all of those sins, for all of our sins as well. So you see, in a very real sense, Barabbas is us, isn't he? Barabbas is each and every one of us. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, being the one who suffered and died instead of us, who paid the penalty for what we have done and continue to do instead of us. The one whose sacrifice on the cross would be all sufficient as the only begotten Son of God for everything we have done. Consequently, what happens to us when we believe in Jesus, the very Son of God, as our Lord and Savior, but that we are set free from our imprisonment, our bondage, our enslavement to sin. Yes, we certainly are imprisoned by our sins. whether we want to be or not. No, most of us don't end up in a literal prison of brick and mortar, bars and guards. But we are imprisoned. Imprisoned by our guilt. Incarcerated by our shame. Our rap sheet that follows us wherever we go throughout our lives is our memory. Our memory of past wrongs, which we so often try to expunge, but we simply cannot. Yes, the world would call for our release, trying to convince us that we are not so imprisoned and that we should serve it, serve the world for its purposes, like revolution. But the reality is that unless another is put in our place, another even with the same name that we have, that is Son of God, Daughter of God, we will in fact die in our sin. We will die in the prison of our shame and in guilt. It's not the world, that is a crowd, that can release us. It's not a government official who can do that either. It's only Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, our Savior and Redeemer, who can, by His Holy Spirit, enter the prison cells that our hearts have become and say, I, Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of the Father, have suffered the punishment for your sins, all of them, so you are forgiven. So there's no need for your guilt, no purpose for your shame. There now is only freedom and release, a life of love and of service and humility among all those who I've also suffered and died for. You know, we don't know what happened to Barabbas after he was released from prison. A Swedish author, Per Lagerkvist, wrote a novel in 1950 with the title Barabbas, in which he attempted to explore the inner life of Barabbas after his release from prison, apparently to no avail. Like Lagerkvist himself, the character Barabbas in that novel just could not figure out why Jesus had done what he had done. Other such attempts have reached different conclusions. Perhaps we could say then that the disappearance of Barabbas from the historical record is appropriate, even representative of the Christian life itself. For what happens to us? What happens to us once we've been freed from the guilt and shame of sin and we can live each day in freedom, in spiritual freedom in the world? Need we then go about making a dent in the world somehow? Or does our life in the Spirit, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, dictate that we look at the world in a new way, a way that does not call for insurrection, a way which does not call for murder, a way that does not call for the world to use us as it pleases throughout our lives before it retires us, hands us a watch, and tells us to go away? That's what happens if we are not, through faith, sons of the Father, sons and daughters of God, children of God, which we do become, according to John 1, by believing the very Son of God as our, in the Son of God as our Lord and Savior. For if we do not become sons and daughters of the Father through the Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, we remain sons and daughters of Barabbas, the son of the father of lies, the devil himself. There's no middle ground. We're either children of the one or children of the other, made so by believing in Jesus Barabbas, that is Jesus, son of the Father, or Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the canticle.